Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the one and only Politically Speaking. If there is another one, we are the originators, okay? So I'm glad to have you guys here. We have a great episode today. We are going to be recapping this past weekend at the South Carolina Democratic Party. What is it? Convention? South Carolina Convention? Am I saying it right? It's so long. I want to be like SCDP.
It's like blue weekend. Like, it's like, la, 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 la. So
South long. Carolina Democratic Party Convention. Yes.
Thank you. 2025. Okay. It's like there's more to it even after that. But yes, we thought it was very, very important that we go ahead and hop in while it's fresh on the top of the dough, trying to make sure that we recap and break down everything. Convention, telling you how to even sign up. Like, what is the purpose of it? Why do we all come across the state and sit in underneath the location and listen to all these speakers and all of that stuff. But I will say that this year, one of the highlights was the AC. Okay. Like,
yes.
I was super
comfortable.
I will
Jay literally, Jay literally started, Kristen, did you hear this on the playback? Jay was like, we need extra donations because we paid extra to make sure this place was cold this year. And I was like, thank you for hearing our feedback.
I would pay extra for the AC. So honestly,
that
was a good plug.
Sitting in that with all the people.
The year before, there was not AC.
We're not there for like 5 minutes. We're there for hours, okay? So that was something I really, really, really appreciate from Jay. And just, you know, the SCDP team all together. It's getting better. Like, you know,
Shout out team SCDP. I know that took a lot of planning, a lot of hours. It's a thankless job. Shout out to Team SCDP for getting that done. And then realizing that people were going to want to hear our special speakers and finding a way for them to be able to stream it, because that's an added thing that we never did before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really cool to have the live stream. And I wish I would have remembered that there was a live stream, but because it would have been fun to watch live.
I'm appreciative that they even have that live stream. Is that new? I don't remember.
I don't think they've ever done it before. I think it was because people were like, oh gosh, these are your special guests. Like, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I do want to, so let's just go ahead and dive into it. So the SCDP convention is a 2-day event, but it is a full 2-day event. It's like moving. So let's just start with all things just Friday. So on Friday we had, let's break down. What do we do? So on Friday, if anybody does decide to go, you usually go to the Palmetto dinner and then you have the fish fry. But in this scenario, we all had the opportunity to meet the one and only Governor Tim Walz. So that was pretty exciting.
Shout out to Kirsten for hooking us up.
For real, but you know somebody, you know what I'm saying?
You know, gotta have friends in high places. Get those special VIP invites.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so cool because we got to go to one of our DNC member Carol Fowler's house. So that was a nice treat to.
Yeah, I'd never been to Carol's house. And I know that that's like a thing. You have made it in South Carolina politics if you go to Carol Fowler's house.
So that was exciting.
Right.
Maybe 30 people there. So it was an exclusive meet and greet.
Uh-huh. Yes. When I was even pulling up to the driveway, I was like, before I touch this doorknob, let me make sure that the numbers match this email. Because the last thing I wanted to.
I was a little anxious just walking up to the house. I didn't even have anything to do with Governor Walz.
No.
Let me make sure I'm going to the right house before I, you know, go into some strangers, especially if it's my first time. And it was like drizzling too, so I was trying
I'm trying not to look like a wet dog when I meet Governor Walz, but of course it's raining.
Rain or shine, we were still on time, baby. We making it through that front door.
I think you were late, Erica.
It was probably the only time that entire group of people had been on time. Jay put in that email, please show up on time. The governor has somewhere else to be. And sure as heck, people were there on time. I think only like maybe a handful of people walked in the door after I got there. And I was there promptly, and the house was already full.
You hear Kirsten trying to call me out. Listen, baby. Listen, I arrive late, but I leave on time. Okay, somebody. One more time for the person in the back.
I was the first person there. That is the motto.
You was definitely there on time, Kirsten. Thank you. And you was my plug. Always. I was like, Kirsten, what's the scene looking like? I was like, is y'all there? Is y'all leaving the umbrella inside? Is y'all leaving Taylor umbrella? Like, you know, I was definitely trying to check in. But yes, it was so fun. So if there was one word to even describe the whole experience, what would you guys say in one word?
Surreal?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That is a really good one.
That's a good one.
Just like, I don't know, exhilarating.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's just a good that excitement. One. Like, we're all staring out the window waiting for him to pull up. And then he walks in and it's just like, whoa, okay, we're in a living room with Tim Walz. Like, how is this even real life?
Yeah, and I feel like the reason I picked surreal is because, like, how did we get here? Like, how am... Like, seriously. I never in a million years would have ever thought when I moved to South Carolina that this is, like, how I would be spending a Friday night. Like, it's just, like... But also, we were kind of, like, in the front. We got to be with him before, like, everybody else did, and I felt... Maybe a little guilty, but not that guilty. I was like, I'm going to take my time with him. Like, because as long as he's willing to talk.
A long time.
Yes, as long as he was willing to talk to me, I was going to keep the conversation going. I felt sorry about all the people who were in the back of the room, but I was like, nope.
Yeah. I feel like it was refreshing. That's the word that comes to mind because it feels good when you're in a space with like-minded people. So it feels more natural and organic. Like, you don't feel guilty to bring up politics. You're not like hesitant to say certain words and you're like, oh no, these are my peoples. Like this is a good space, a safe space to like be in because we're all there with the same initiative, same goal, same type of vibe. So I definitely feel like it was definitely more my word of the day is like refreshing for me.
Yeah. And that's funny you say that. Cause like I said to my mom today, I was like, you know, this weekend was just so good to be around my people. And I'm like, I wish, you know, we could do it more just cause I have so much fun with like people that I trust and know, like, have good intentions.
You don't have to have a filter.
Like pure good people who are, like, committed to, like, justice and have good morals. And it's just, it just feels really good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the two of you weren't there with us in Chicago, but it was, like, it felt like a mini DNC reunion because it was, like, a lot of the people who had been delegates for the DNC in Chicago were all at Carol's house. And it was like almost like let me forget about the reality of the world for a few minutes. Like I was like, I'm back in Chicago. It's August. This election hasn't happened yet. Like maybe we're going to get a redo. So that was like kind of bittersweet in a way, but it was nice to see everybody again, because I think this was, for me, the first time that I'd been in the same space as a lot of those people since then. And obviously so much has happened since then. So,
and it was definitely more intimate. Like you got to see him on a different level versus through like a device. You know what I'm saying? He got to look at you. You were taking pictures. He was working the room. He made sure to give attention to everybody. So it definitely felt more intimate. And then I liked the fact that he was even cussing. I was like, I know that's right, Tim. Well, say what your chest, okay? We ain't sugarcoated. This is a safe space, you know?
Yeah, because it makes him seem more human.
He was calling Trump's big, beautiful bill of bullshit. That's right. Call it what it is. It's a bunch of BS.
I don't know if the two of you felt this way in your interaction with him, but how I keep reflecting on it is like he had this ability to make you feel as if your time speaking with him was like the most important thing to him on the planet. And that is such a genuine trait. You cannot teach somebody how to make somebody feel that way. And there's only like one or two people I can pinpoint in my life that I've ever had a conversation with that has felt that same way. And that is what really like stands out. Like I was like, this is a house full of people who are all like anxiously awaiting to jump in and get a picture and have their time with him. And he was just like locked in on our conversation. And I was just like, this is, to use Erica's words, so refreshing. It felt so genuine. Like I could tell that he was just like such a good person, which you don't always get when you're talking to a politician. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Absolutely. And he cares. Another good word. All right. So let's move on and talk about the Blue Palmetto Dinner. So for anybody that is new, the Blue Palmetto Dinner is essentially a fundraiser because these funds go back into the party and then the party dispersed it in just various ways, whether just outreach, messaging, marketing, just making sure to keep our party informed, not only what we're doing with the money, but just how we're putting it towards a good cause. So, and we can't, well, not we, the party itself can't operate without those donations and fundraisers and things like that. Everything costs money. It is what it is. So the Blue Palmetto Dinner, what is it? Like, it's just what it is. It's a dinner with keynote speakers. And everybody comes. You get sit at your designated table. Then you listen to the keynote speaker. So for this keynote, for this dinner, it was Governor Westmore, Tim Walz, and then who else was it? Jim Clyburn.
Jamie Harrison.
And then Crystal, she talked for a little bit, right?
Yeah, but we were sold our ticket on Westmore. That's like who that was like the headliner.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So again, if you come to the dinner, you come dressed up, they feed you, there's like a drinks, you can get drinks, but really it's really to them. Hear. You said what?
Got to pay for the what drinks.
Oh, yeah.
Don't and act then, like we're getting free drinks there, okay?
Yes. And then you buckle in and just listen to the message and then just be in the moment. And can we talk about Governor Westmore? Oh, my gosh. That speech filled my cup. Like
I thought you were going to talk about how cute he is.
That's where I thought she was going. I thought she was about to just talk about the presence of him.
In person, he looks so much better than in pictures. And not that he looks bad in pictures.
Yeah, yeah.
But just, I was, very surprised. I was like, this is a good-looking man. Like, that was literally my first impression. I'm like, he could do well in politics. Mm-hmm. Well, he has done well in politics, Get the women out there voting. But anyway, sorry, go ahead. You were talking about more substantive...
No, he is a good-looking man, and I definitely get what you're saying, because on pictures is one thing, but then when you see it live, you're like, I'm glad that the math was mathed, okay? I'm glad that everything...
And that smile.
And he don't need no filter. Ooh, okay. Anyway, so you done got me distracted, Kirsten. What was I talking about? Oh, yes, the dinner. So the dinner actually was really good. I told Kirsten, I was like, okay, I'm over here, my fork, and I cut it out. I was like, okay, this thing is actually good.
She was really excited about the food.
I really was. That before I even went, that was one thing I said, was like, I didn't want to go to dinner.
I normally don't go to the dinner because the food is normally terrible. And I don't want to pay for it. But Erica and I were sponsored this year. Give a shout out to Women in the New South Pack. Yep.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Shout out.
Yes, your sponsors. Yes. Yes.
Shout out to them. I'm cracking up because I was actually going to tag SCDP in this episode. So they're going to hear this if they do decide to follow through. But hey, it's good constructive criticism. The food was good this time. Good job. One more time for SCDP. Okay, one more time.
Did a great job. Great job.
But yes, back to Governor Moore. His speech really resonated because I felt like it resonated because not only he was dropping gems from experience, he was actually able to provide like his why. Why am I even doing this? Why am I running for this role? And only why am I running for this role? What have I done with this role? And everything that he was mentioning, it came from his past, whether from his, I think he said his great grandfather or something like that, mm-hmm. to carry him. him into and those roots and that reflection. And then he's just acknowledging all the stuff that he's been able to accomplish in his state. So that just lets us know that, okay, these things are tangible. They're realistic, and we can absolutely, you know, do these things and be more progressive and moving forward. But I really, really, really appreciate it. His speech, there was moments where I know I appreciate it because I put my phone down. Like I was, you know, taking pictures, but I was like, damn, this thing is actually good. Let me actually put this down and listen, you know? So that's how I know that it was really good. And then he had one thing I put on my Facebook is that he mentioned that, what did he say? He said, no fear or hope or something like that. He said when he put the Bible in his pocket, there was like a message about have no fear, but have hope. And he like carries that with him. And it's just certain things to me. I thought he did great. What are you guys' thoughts?
I laughed. So
you laughed?
Well, I mean, I left not because of Westmore. I wasn't there for his speech.
Wait, you didn't hear his speech?
Mm-mm. I left because my husband is over the fish fry.
Yes. So, and I do want to acknowledge that a lot. So you don't have to stay the whole time at the dinner. The dinner, it's like the time frame actually crosses over into the fish fry timeline. So some people did get up to go ahead and start heading over to the fish fry.
And some people don't go to dinner at all. They just go right to the fish fry.
Exactly. Because
the fish fry is free.
Okay, thank you. Exactly, Ev. It is free, and the dinner is definitely not. You have to get a ticket because, again, it is under the umbrella of a fundraiser. And then
that's why you find people to sponsor you.
Or, you know, a sponsor, you absolutely. but we could talk about Governor Tim Walz because he was also speaking up there too. You were there for that part?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Sure. And one thing about his.
So one thing I do want to mention, this is like just a random fact that I loved about Tim Walz. I look over at his dinner table and he's sitting there and I see he's brought his own bottle of Diet Mountain Dew and he was pouring it into his fancy drink glass. And I was like, this is like Diet Mountain Dew is like my favorite. So first I was like, yes. And I'm like, this really is, he's a man of the people, you know?
Yeah, seriously. I was like, is
because that
really
sweet tea was not delicious. So I was about to go over to him and be like, can I share the Diet Mountain Dew? Because
Kristen has such an issue with this sweet tea. She would not drop it. She was like,
it was fake.
I was
this
like,
is the first I'm hearing.
They did not steep that tea.
The whole time, she would not leave that sweet tea alone. And that thing was good to me. I got up and got no. I don't know what you're talking about. That thing is so
good. It was like a brisk tea. Like the brand brisk. You know what I'm saying? You
buy it in the bottle. So bad.
She still hasn't let it go. It's been 48 hours. It's been 48 hours. She's still talking about this tea.
I should have just got the water.
Okay? That we could have talked about. She over here bringing out that daggone sweet tea. And then that's what I'm saying. Me sitting beside her, she would not let it go. I'm like, girl, that thing is good. I don't know what you talk about.
I'm just glad that coincidentally your table and my table ended up like right in front of each other. We were not across the room. That was just like by happenstance. No. But thank God.
Randomly. I know. Yeah. And this is a huge space too. So for that to happen, that was pretty dope. I was like,
I know. Hey, we were kind of like center stage. We weren't like front row. Like, we're not like Jim Clyburn. But we had I was really pleased. Go ahead.
It was interesting because like, you know, we were right next to each other, but then like Greenville County had two tables, but they were on complete opposite ends of the room.
They were.
And I was like, that was kind of strange.
Listen, we're not the seating. That is something I would never want to have to deal with. So, I bet that was Kristen Irby. I'm gonna give Kristen Irby a shout out. She's my roommate in Chicago. Girl doesn't get thanked enough. She just gets criticized enough. So I'm gonna take this opportunity to say shout out to Kristen Irby.
Criticizing the seating. I'm just saying it was interesting.
But no, I think every single year there's like more people than there are seats. Somehow, like people like show up. I don't know.
But then how do they get in? Because they check people in at the door.
Listen, they're probably like, I'll donate right now. And they're not going to say no.
I don't know that
100% to be true, but I imagine. I mean, I've been at enough SCDP things at this point that I'm like, they want your money, so they're going to find a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but it really is there, like, go ahead.
I got there early when it was like empty. And so from my view, when I got there, and I don't even feel like it was early. I feel like I got there probably like, walked in 10 minutes before I was like about to start.
No, because that was when I walked in and you got there before. Okay. You got there like a half hour early.
Okay. Really? Okay. Yeah. I was like, I feel like it was
Texted me that you were inside and I was in my car as I was like hanging out with Justin. And then he got a message from one of his friends that they were at the fish fry. And so I drove him over the fish fry. So yeah, there's definitely a half hour.
Okay. Cause when I got there, I was looking around and it was like bare bones. And I was like, man, I hope that more people come.
But you know what? So there's the chairs reception before. Yes, the dinner.
So that's what I was going to say. Cause that's where I came from. I was at the chairs reception before of the dinner. You were. Mm-hmm. What is that supposed to mean? Of course I was. Like
you're in all the places.
Yeah. I didn't even know there was a chairs reception until I walked at the door and I was like, oh, about the chairs reception. Whatever. I'm not gonna complain about it. I got more time with Tim Walls and
like whoever paid for your ticket, did they pay
for the chairs? No. I bought the tickets. Like Phil Ford gave me his credit card number and said, buy two tickets for the dinner. So I just went through the Young Dems link because I was like, well, that's also cheaper. It was like $25 cheaper to go through the Young Dems link. So I was like, why not?
You snuck into that chairs reception.
No, because they highlighted my name off a list and then Phil was stopped at the door. So I know for a fact that somehow I was on a list that he was not on. I don't know if they were just automatically like chairs and vice chairs of county parties can like go. I genuinely have no idea.
Is Phil the chair of a county party?
He's not on leadership of a county party.
I didn't think so. I was like, then how did...
I think that's why he was stopped. Because he and I had a conversation the day before.
He couldn't go in.
Correct. But I could. And we bought our tickets together on the same
way. So you think it's because you're the third vice chair of Buford?
Correct. Because he asked me that day. He was like, is there a chairs reception? And I was like, I think the thing at Carol's is the reception. Because I didn't have another option on the Act Blue form.
So I probably could have got into the chairs reception.
Yeah, you might have been able to, but hindsight's 20/20. I mean, it's fine.
Well, the more you know, next time.
But by the time I got in from the chairs reception, that line for the food.
Oh my God. Well, even I waited until the end.
I waited until there was no line anymore. And then I got to have two scoops of that mac and cheese. Two dinner rolls.
I saw two dinner rolls. I was like,
always wait till the end. This has nothing to do with being pregnant. This has to do with being at the end of the line. They're like, oh, there's no more people coming to get food. Right. Correct.
Yeah.
This is the hack of all hacks. Don't wait. So do all your socializing while other people are waiting in line. Go from table to table. Walk the room. Go in at the end. Pro tip. Anyone listening who's thinking about going to a Blue Palmetto dinner or any other type of gala where they have a buffet, take this tip from a girl who's done a gala or two. Wait till the end. Mm-hmm. Don't stand at that line.
Yeah, because even the drink line, I went to go and get Erica and I's drinks. And of course, I'm squirrel brained and got sidetracked by seeing several different people. So I had to call Erica and be like, what did you want your drink again? Because it was just gone.
Yeah, I felt like Kirsten every time she volunteered to go do something. She didn't come back until 30 minutes later. I was about to be like, don't even volunteer anymore. Thirsty.
to your defense, Kirsten, it is like a who's who of Democratic.
It is.
It's like a Met Gala reunion,
but fun.
Yeah, it it's like a no, yeah. We have our Clyburn fellows we got to see. Kirsten and I got our Emerge sisters we got to see. Like, I could probably name you somebody in all 46 counties of the state that I am at least familiar with.
I wouldn't remember the Clyburn fellows. So.
Oh, we know. You're terrible at that.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really know.
You remember us. Like, we feel honored. We feel honored by your presence and acknowledement here. Well, you know,
okay, but I want to go back to your question, Erica, that Kirsten couldn't answer. So I will answer about Wes Moore. So
Yes.
I'm extremely familiar with Westmore. My family is in Maryland. My childhood best friend is a lobbyist at the Maryland General Assembly. Like, I maybe know too much about Maryland politics for somebody who hasn't lived there since 2011. But so, like, I'm very familiar with Westmore. I've heard him speak. I know, like, kind of, I didn't know so much about his personal story, so I was really glad to hear that piece of it about, like, how his family had left to go back to Jamaica, how his grandfather was a pastor, and how, like, the KKK had an influence on them. And, you know, the one thing that stood out to me, like, he was explaining, like, I shouldn't be here. Like, I had handcuffs on my wrist by the time I was 11 years old, like, and now here I am as governor of Maryland. And I think that is super relatable. And that's not something I had known about him previously. So I appreciated him sharing that personal piece of it. When he started talking about, oh, well, my friend delegate so-and-so and we passed this and that, I was like, yeah. So that's when I started looking around the room and I was like, how are other people feeling? And people were into it. Like, I was like, okay, all right. But yes, shout out to him and his wife, Dawn. They are.
I feel like you mentioned that he was, like, only the third Black governor, right, so far. I know whatever number it was as far as.
To God can't name you, like, in my time in Maryland since 2000, he's the only Black governor that I remember. I mean, I'm sure there were others before my family got there in 2000.
I think that it's in the double digits. I could have sworn he said, like, the third or the fifth.
I would believe that. And, like, Maryland is a weird state in the sense that the General Assembly, their House of Delegates and their state Senate are typically always held by Democrats, but the governor's mansion goes back and forth. Like, you had Larry Hogan before you had Westmore. It tends to be, like, one Republican, one Democrat, one Republican. But they do the 8 years. Like, they get reelected. So that's just, like, an interesting dynamic about Maryland politics. But I was just, like, when he got to the parts that were familiar for me, just because of my experience, I took that as an opportunity to look around to see how other people were feeling about it. And it looked like people were super into it. So love that.
Yeah, I was definitely about to say about the reactions. I feel like everyone was giving, everyone understood the assignment, basically. Like, the message was, like, resonating. And then everyone was clapping and woohoo. And, you know,
he even ended with, I understand the assignment.
I remember, girl, he said so many gems that night. I was like, God damn. I knew of him, but now I feel like I know him. You know what I'm saying? It's like different now. It was, again, intimate and personal. And I'm like, man, I just hearing about his backstory, I was like, I didn't know that. But man, I cannot hear it now. I'm like, okay, shoot. Okay, Marilyn.
Yeah, now I really want to read, like, his books because he has this one book I was looking up today where it's like The Other Westmore. And I don't know if you told this story about, like, this kid that, well, I mean, he's not a kid anymore, but, and, like, his name is Westmore, too, and he ended up serving, like, prison time, and, like, they communicated, and there's, like, he wrote a whole book about it, and I'm like, that sounds really interesting, because, yeah, he was just reflecting on what Emily said. He shouldn't have been there, you know, he could have easily ended up in the path this other guy that ended up in prison did, but now he's the governor of Maryland, you know, so it's a very interesting story. I feel like I didn't know anything about him. Like, when he was announced as the speaker for the Blue Palmetto dinner, I was like, oh, okay, like, I don't really care. But, like, the more I've heard about him over the weekend, I'm like, okay, he's an interesting character.
Yeah, he made it out of a super crowded Democratic primary. Because I know too much about Maryland politics. Yeah, super, super crowded, like 12 people in that primary. And then in the general, he ran against this, like, crazy MAGA Republican. And I was like, that's not going to fly in Maryland. Like, don't even try that. But when he got inaugurated, Oprah was at his inauguration. Like, he's friendly with Oprah. Yeah. So people are always like, oh, he's the second coming of Barack Obama. I'm like, why? Because he's Black and he's friends with Oprah? Like, what are you talking about? But, yeah.
All right, so let's segue into, I call it the after party. So we touched base on the Jim Clyburn's world famous fish fry. I feel like it's another one where it's like, all right, man, we got it. I don't know, bring it in. But the world famous fish fry, what it is really a piece of fried fish on a slice of white bread. Yeah, but for whatever reason, it's a piece of heaven on a container. Okay,
did you listen. I've never eaten at the fish fry.
Me neither. So did you eat, Erica?
Well, not this one, but he's had the fish fry in Charleston. Same concept, but I've had it here in Charleston when he does the fish fry here. So I've gotten a line. But then again, I've gotten a line in the one in Charleston because it's smaller, not so much like out here in Columbia. So the lines move a little bit quicker. But I've had it, and I actually like it. That thing is seasoned to the T, baby.
I was just going to say, Justin said it was seasoned really well.
Okay, what? So actually,
I don't doubt that.
Yeah. And Justin likes some seasoning. So
yes, and then that little slice of white bread, don't sleep on it now for whatever reason.
No, Phil Ford told me it's not a real fish fry if it's not on white bread.
Evidently. I'm from North Carolina, so our thing is really barbecue. So when I moved to South Carolina, I'm realizing it's a lot of seafood things. So I didn't really grow up on fish fry and red rice and all that same stuff. But man, South Carolina loves themselves some fish fries. Okay. God, don't mess up on that fish fry. You ain't gonna get invited back.
If you're trying to run for office as a Democrat in South Carolina, You're having a fish fry at some point in time.
I have a fish fry evidently. I am new to this. I was like, so
and when I never people were saying it.
Yeah, it's like being invited to the picnic. It's like the same kind of concept.
Mm-hmm. But man, it is heavy here in South Carolina. So everyone goes to the fish fry. There's music. There's the food. There's drinks. But for
open bar.
I feel like, you said what?
Open bar.
Open bar. So the event is free and they got open bar. Shout out to Jim Clyburn.
Yes.
And it's a full bar.
And it's after hours. So that's why we say it's the after party. So once you do all the meet and greet and things like that, if you don't want to do that, you're always welcome to come to the fish fry. Parking is hard. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But
just go to the parking garage. Go to the bathroom before you get there because it's only porta potties. And it was horrific going into one at 11 p.m.
I'm sure it was. Well, because the vibe is so different, right? Like there are people who have been there since like 6 o'clock. And you can tell who those people are when you show up from the Blue Palmetto dinner. And there are people who show up from the Blue Palmetto dinner. Well, the people from the Blue Palmetto dinner are in their like fancy clothes, and the people who have just like been there drinking and socializing are it's super casual. So it's just like it's so funny to see that like combination of like I'm in a t-shirt and shorts, and then like Wes Moore and Tim Walls like throw a Clyburn t-shirt on over their button-down shirt, and I'm like I can't deal with this.
And then this is outdoors, so I just want to throw that out there as well. So all the other stuff is indoors, but if you ever decide to come to the fish fry, it is an outdoor event. And I'm glad that for whatever reason it did not rain. It may have like drizzled before, you know, earlier that day, but it held off.
And it was not 100 degrees. It was actually very pleasant.
There's a breeze.
So the guest speakers, they leave the dinner, they come here, and then only you don't just have the guest speakers, you have, I feel like I saw some local people running as well, come on the stage.
They call up candidates.
So it's another networking experience because everybody, again, some people decide they come from the dinner or if they don't go to the dinner, they come to the fish fry. But again, you're there to network. You're there to talk to everyone, catch up, tap in with everyone, which is why
if you're a candidate, you're trying to raise some money. You're walking around with your stickers.
This is something you want to have on your agenda to make sure that you do go to because, again, this is where everybody's going to be at. So that was pretty dope. And we were all there just kicking it, hanging out and talking. And they were like playing music. We're them fans. Everybody brought out their fans. So if that helps with giving you a idea of what the vibe is.
Oh, my gosh. Those fans were so funny. They were these like, you know, those, I don't even know.
They're called clack fans because they make that clack.
That makes so much sense.
Yes.
Yeah. And they had Clyburn ones. And one of my friends from Greenville comes out with one, and I'm like, did you just pay $20 for that fan? And he was clacking it around. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
Yes.
No, I only know those fans from drag shows.
Okay. When,
if you go to like if you go to a drag brunch. Yeah.
I got one of those fans. I actually got two of them. And when I was Googling, and that's how I found out that they actually had a name called a clack fan. So I was like, oh, okay. Well, I was 8 years old.
It kept scaring me. Every time I would go and get in the drink line, this lady that was selling them, she kept clacking the thing. And I would like, what is going on? You scare the heck. I mean, you know, you're drinking and you're like.
Erica said she was today years old about today. Today years old. Yeah, yes, I said that right. About the name of the fan. She was also today years old when she realized that my husband Phil is also Philip. She was also today years old when she learned that there are rumors about our U.S. senators being gay. Like Erica learned a lot this weekend. Apparently,
really, you know, it really listen, the weekend the really is there. Educational.
Yes, I was listening. I'm here, but Lord, when you know somebody, okay, I was like, what's happening? What? Who? What? You're like, Erica. I'm like, tell me, girl, I need to know now.
I was like, literally Google our two U.S. senators and multiple stories will come up about rumors about their sexuality. It's like a national rumor. It's not even just a South Carolina thing.
She didn't pay attention.
I can't believe you didn't know.
I did not know. I know about a lot of things, but that one definitely is skipped over in the pipeline.
I know. Normally you're coming to us with the tea. I was floored that you did not know that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And then when I'm picturing who you were even talking about, I'm like, nope. Okay. I still don't want to picture it. Still don't want to picture it.
Well, yeah, who wants to picture that?
Take it back.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. That's why Tim Scott, when he was running for president, that's why when he like magically announced that he had a fiance, people were like, what?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Sketch.
And now he's married. Yeah. I can't, I'm genuinely just so shocked that you hadn't heard that because you're just always up on pop culture and tea and all that.
I was so shocked he even had a wife. I was like, I didn't know he was dating. Like, did I miss that? Like, God.
He wasn't. It wasn't until he was running for president that anyone even knew that he had somebody in his life.
I wonder if he's still married.
He had to pull somebody out of nowhere and be like, okay, I got to look like a family man here.
Had to build a wife. Okay. So let's segue into convention. I want to make sure because we got like about 20 minutes left, so I want to make sure that we unpack.
We got a lot to cover. There's a lot.
That's what I was saying. We done set all the fun, the hype, you know, informative stuff out the way. Now let's get to the meat and potatoes as to also why we go to the convention, because every 2 years we have the South Carolina Democratic Party convention, and it's opportunity for us to
we have it every year,
but every 2 years we elect party leaders.
Okay, I was like, we go to Columbia every year.
Odd number years we elect party officers, and then even number years we're getting ready for like primaries with our candidates.
Okay.
Yeah, every May we make our pilgrimage to Columbia.
Yeah, for sure.
So the point of this is to elect the new leadership from the chair, the first vice, the second vice, and then the third. And each of these have different criteria, just as if we mentioned when we were talking about our county conventions. They all have different criteria as far as who's even eligible to be nominated, to run, and yada, 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 yada. So this year, we only had one race, which was the third race that had more than one option on that we would be voting on. So for this year, the chair is going to be Crystal Spain. The first vice is Roger Kirby. I feel like I always say that name wrong. And then the second vice is Myra. And then the third one. So before I announce this, let's just go ahead and talk about it.
The third chair race was the race that was contested. Yes.
Exactly. So it was between Ralph and between Michael. Again, you have to be under, you have to be what, under 37, I think, to be eligible?
Yeah. That's why Michelle couldn't. Yeah.
Okay. You have to be 36 and under. So if anybody's interested in this role, again, you have to be a certain age to be eligible to even, you know, run for it. So these individuals,
That's a rule statewide. Every state party's third vice chair has to be 36 or under, because it's like their way of trying to bring a seat to the table for the young voters. Sorry, exactly. Keep going.
Exactly. Yeah, it's considered like the youth chair, trying to reach out to young people.
Great information to plug in as well if anybody else is listening for that role. For this one, it was, I wanted to bring up, anybody that is interested, you actually have to still campaign. You still have to send out your flyers. You still have to shake hands. You still have to make you're right. You don't have to.
Normally, if you want to win, you have to.
Exactly, because some people do skip some of those, you know, those steps, but it is highly encouraged. I'll say that part. It is encouraged that you do make yourself accessible to the people so that they can vote for you. And these people that are running for it, they have to go across the, well, I'm going to say have to. It is encouraged to go across.
Do not say have to.
It is encouraged that you go across the state, whether it's in person, whether it is on a Zoom, but you want to make sure that you are touching points with everyone in a certain county, because these are people who are going to be coming to Columbia to make their vote for you. So this year we all had to decide between Michael and Ralph on who we wanted to be in this role. I'm going to pass it to y'all. Does anyone want to talk about this breakdown?
So first and foremost, in order to be a delegate to the state party, we've said this on a previous episode, but in case you're just tuning in order to be a delegate to the state party convention, you have to have gone to your county party convention and signed up to be a delegate and approved at your convention. So can't just be anybody showing up. But also it can still sort of be anybody as long as you show up to convention. It doesn't have to be somebody who's really active in the party or really knows a lot about how the party functions. And I think that's really important context for the rest of this conversation. But then second, the way that we vote, it's so fucked up. I'm just going to say that.
It is.
Especially when there's only two candidates. When Erica ran for third vice chair 2 years ago, was there only two candidates? Was it only you and Michelle?
Mm-hmm. And there was three.
Oh, your grandmother wins. Okay, so
the third? And then,
yeah, I, sorry, it was, my.
It was me, Michelle, and I forgot. He was a he calls. I thought he was like a pastor or something like that. Oh, it's bothering me that I can't forget his name. Hopefully,
John Wright.
He's like an. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot about
fraternity.
Him.
Yeah. I had all these things, but I could not remember his name. But go ahead, Em.
Yeah. So, what they do, I feel like I'm going to explain it and people are going to be like, surely you're lying. Surely this is not how they actually do this. And this is for any race that is contested. It just so happened this year there was only one race that was contested, but 2 years ago when Erica ran for third vice chair, all of our seats were contested and it was like a whole, it took forever. And that's when it got so hot. So this year they paid for air conditioning. But the way that you're sitting in the convention space is like, it's by county delegation, more or less, I think like alphabetically across. But like there's sections. So there's like four sections so that there's aisleways for people and whatever else. So they go section by section and they say, if you're voting for this candidate, please stand up. And so that whole section, if you're voting for that candidate, you stand up and you count off what number vote you are. So if I'm the first person standing in my section, I say one, so on and so forth, all the way to the end. And then they shout the number out of how many people you got. Okay. And then they repeat the total number. Correct. Yeah. Then they repeat that same process for the next candidate. So they go alphabetically. What starts to happen is that if you are in the fourth section, you kind of already know how this outcome is going, and it gives you an out to like be on the winning side as opposed to like voting for the person that you actually were and maybe intending to vote for. And
because everybody wants to choose the winner.
Right, right. Nobody wants to be on the losing side. But because they go alphabetically too, the same candidate goes first in each section. So Michael went first before Ralph. So Michael's people would stand up and you're like, oh, this is feeling good. He's got like 95 in this section. And then Ralph's people would stand up. And first off, this is not about me throwing shade, but like Ralph's supporters were loud. Like every time, you know, notice that?
No, well, I wasn't there, but my good friend Justin called me, or he was actually texting me during, and he was like, these people are so undignified right now.
Get up and be loud about the fact that like they were getting up for their candidate.
He said it was trashy.
I honestly like felt some kind of way about it. I just don't think that that's like for me, I was a supporter of Michael. I made that very clear to Ralph, but I also made it very clear to Ralph that like, I know that if he wins, he's going to do the best of his ability to do the job. Like this is not personal for me. Like it's personal in the sense that like I know and love Michael, but it wasn't like personal against Ralph. So I just didn't really like how that was carried out. But so like Ralph's people would get up and then you'd like realize like, oh shit, I thought Michael had a lot of people, but this is clearly more people than that before they even start counting. And it just doesn't, it feels terrible. Like, it's like literally watching a train wreck in slow motion and there's nothing you can do about it. And mind you, Michael's delegation was right in front of my delegation. I could literally see him the entire time. And I was like, this is like the worst feeling I could have for somebody else in the entire world. Like,
well,
I was
that
like,
that was how I felt when it was Erica. Like, I literally, I almost threw up.
It was, like, it's terrible.
Because
it is such a bad feeling.
When it's somebody you care deeply about, it hurts on such a level. And I'm still like, I still recall Erica's election. And with every time I think about it, I just feel,
I think I just kept saying to Kathleen, my county party chair, who was sitting next to me, like, This is the worst thing. This is the worst thing I've ever been forced to sit through. Because it's like, it has nothing to do with me, but I saw how hard Michael worked. And it just like broke my heart for him. Like in real time, in this like slow motion train wreck. And like section by section, it was like the writing was on the wall. It was clear, like he was not closing the gap. And then once they got through our section and he and I voted for him, first off, there were like six rows behind me before they got to the next person voting for him. And I was like, first off.
Whoa.
Granted, Berkeley County was also right behind Beaufort County. But I was just like, I was vote 50. And it took them like, I felt like 2 whole minutes before they got to 55. And I was like, I can't. So Michael, I saw Michael get up. And I'm just stealing this whole story and section of the podcast. Sorry. But I saw Michael get up and I was like, I have to go. Like, I have to, like, if he's getting up, I gotta go be with him. Like, he was with me on my election night when I lost. He's the one who like broke the news to me that I lost. Like, so I was like, he was there for me. I needed to go do that for him. So I walked up to him and I was like, do you want to go take a walk outside? And he's like, nope, I gotta see this through.
Yeah.
And so we just stood together as they did the last two sections. And again, by the time they got to that last section, Ralph had already crossed over that majority threshold. That last section didn't even really matter. And I know that there are people who switched their votes when they saw the writing on the wall. And that is just like so shitty to me. Like, I'm like, stand in your values, stand in your morals. Like, it's the inner party politics, I think, that bother me more than anything. I know what to expect when it comes to like Republicans versus Democrats versus who, like, you know, I, whatever, like we're inherently different people with different values, but it's this inner party stuff that I'm just like, I hate this. I don't like this at all. And I didn't like seeing people I knew who I knew Michael and how hard Michael worked, not standing up and like not making it personal. Like, mm-hmm. I was just like, okay, I have to let this go. But like, I'm actually like kind of upset that you're not voting for Michael right now.
I'm more of a realist than like an optimist. I feel like we can all hope, but like Governor Walz's wife said, I mean, hope is nothing without the action. So I feel like I'm more of a realist. I know at the end of the day, there can only be one winner. And in this, you know, situation, it's just being in the moment and seeing how it's, you know, unfolding. That's the part that's rough, because when you stand, you're visible, you're vulnerable. You got to stick beside that vote. And so
You were one of few people from your county that stood mm-hmm. for Michael.
Yeah, when mm-hmm. I stood up there, I stood up. When I stood up for the vote, I stood up like, and I stuck out because there wasn't a lot of people that were standing up beside me. So it's just one of those things. Anybody that does, you know, come to convention, we do a standing vote. It's not, you can't write your name on a piece of paper. You can't go to a Zoom link.
No, everybody knows who you voted for. Yes.
Everybody is visually going to see who you are voting for. And that's also why it's important, where I mentioned earlier, is I encourage whoever is running to reach out to everyone, because we are going to stand and have to stick beside that vote. So it's personal on our side as well as the voter. But I did want to say that I am a realist, and I do know that at the end of the day, there's only going to be one person. The thing for me is that I kept feeling myself like slide in my seat when I kept seeing that we've already crossed the threshold. Like, I was like, all right, I don't even feel like we need to continue counting, because now it's like we're going to acknowledge how much further along in the vote that he is. I feel like at a certain point, when you know that he has already won, why even bother, you know, continue counting other people when he's just so far ahead? And it makes you feel so small, because again, I've been in this experience, so I know what it feels like to have to visually see who's standing beside you and then who's not going to stand beside you. And for whatever reason, it is what it is, because at the end of the day, it's your vote. It's meant to be like that, something personal and sacred, but it's still the image of having to see how much further someone else is when they're doing the numbers, and then also to see who is going to stand and feel like, okay, I've earned your vote, and then to see who's not standing, like, okay, well, maybe I should have done something better, a whole bunch of shoulda, coulda, wouldas. But when I saw everything, you know, and that reality was heading, you know, I definitely was like, where's Michael? I feel like I need to go sidebar him and make sure, because I was having deja vu myself, where the reality is sinking in and you're starting to process and you're like, okay, well, you know, I didn't get it. It is what it is. But I just wanted to make sure I gave him a huge hug and let him know that whatever this means, it doesn't mean that it wasn't for you. You know what I'm saying? What's meant for you will always be for you. You got to continue going. You got to make sure that you are still active, still involved. You don't disappear. You don't fall out. And whatever this number, and just saying that you're not winning, that doesn't mean that you're still not a winner. You know what I'm saying? You just took the step, first of all, to even put your name out there to still like get recognized. And he still had a good amount of, you know, people that stood for him. He didn't have as much, but he also didn't have a little. You know, he had more than me. I think he did great. And I definitely wanted to commend him nonetheless, because even how she's actually ran, you know what I'm saying? So I commend anybody that puts themselves out there, because it is a vulnerable moment. It is you wanting to make those changes and let your people know what your intentions are, whether they support you or not. But it is a very vulnerable thing to do. And I commend you also, Em. I commend Michael. I commend anybody that does put themselves in those positions where they're putting their name out there and people are going to take it for whatever reason that they do. But I definitely want to send him all my love. And I'm pretty sure with Michael and his personality, he ain't going nowhere. He may not have won that race,
that's the best thing about him.
Some whispers of things that could be in his future. So it's so interesting, because I didn't even think about your perspective, Erica, like being in that moment. And, like, knowing what that feels like. Like, until you just said that, like, obviously I knew, you know, you ran before and how awful it was for me. But I didn't even think about how that felt for you, knowing how Michael was feeling in that moment. Because
I remember when I was there. I didn't even look at the people as they were standing, because there was a moment where it was now reality was on my end that I was not going to win. I just looked down and just looked at my phone. I was like, I don't even want to see at this point who is standing, who's not standing, because it was that reality where you're like, okay, I didn't get it. So it is what it is.
I think I came and sat with you once I'd voted.
Yep. You sure did. Because
I
Thank
had
you.
The immense privilege of nominating Erica.
You sure did.
One of the highlights of my life.
So speaking of nominating, so Michael had Heather Bauer nominate him, and then Catherine Harvey make the motion, and then Michelle Brandt second, and then Ralph had Clay Middleton make his nomination, Sean McCauley, who is one of his vice chairs in Berkeley, make the motion, and then Sam Grant from College Democrats make the second. And I felt like there was a point in which you could tell based on the speeches how things were going to go. It wasn't until we got to the speeches. Like, I was like, if you had told me Friday night that Michael was not going to win, I would have been like, you're crazy. Like,
yeah.
I didn't feel that way at all. But after the nominating speeches, even before Michael and Ralph each got up and gave their speech, you could feel the energy in the room change. And you could tell that it was on Ralph's side. And also, we did that election so much later in the day that, like, there are some delegates who had already left because they have to drive home, and it's 2 hours, and it's a Saturday, and it's this, it's that. Like, it definitely wasn't, like, all of the people that should have been there. But you also definitely felt that shift in the room. And I think that's, like, when I first started to realize, like, oh, this isn't, like, as obvious as I thought it was. And of course, when you have to stand and make your vote known, mm-hmm. There are certain people who will go and tell the person, like, hey, I'm going to be voting for the other person, just because there are personal feelings involved. There's not so many of us. We all know each other, and you never want to make somebody feel as if something's personal. And so I had previously spoken to Ralph to explain my vote for Michael, and and he was like, no hard feelings, it's fine. So of course I wish Ralph nothing but success in this role. His success is going to be our greater success, and as a third vice chair of a county party, the success of me and my other third vice chairs. It's frustrating because, like I said earlier, to be a delegate, you don't have to be someone whose boots are on the ground every day. So you don't necessarily have the full picture of the amount of work of the candidates or what their track record is or what their resume says. You're just kind of going off of vibes. And the vibes of Ralph's speech were, his speech and his nominators were, it was just much stronger. And I think if there was anybody who, like, wasn't sure ahead of time, that was definitely a factor.
And I think what's so unfortunate about that is it's just like, your speaking ability in front of a crowd does not reflect the quality of work you put into the position and things that you've done. So it's like, that's really hard for me. And I think, like, the thing that really, really stung for me in the race is that, like you guys had said, Michael put in the work. I mean, he was at, I don't know if he went to every county, but if he didn't, if it wasn't every county, it was almost every county in the state.
I mean, he drove over 9,000 miles.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, and even like before, the campaign, I've been involved with Young Dems for years and years, and I've never met Ralph. I don't know Ralph. And I think you guys are in closer proximity to Ralph, like geographically.
Right.
But I don't know that he's ever come to the upstate. And that's a problem for me. When he was campaigning, he did via Zoom. And Michael came to Greenville in person several, and he's been to Greenville even before that, So being from Greenville, I sometimes look at things in a different lens because a lot of people take Greenville for granted and don't come and put in the work and the time. And that really bothers me because, we're growing so much. We're a huge county in the state and we're just overlooked. So when I see a candidate who doesn't overlook us, that means so much to me.
Yeah.
More than I can put into words. And so that was what really hurt me, was I knew Michael worked his butt off. I'm not saying Ralph didn't work hard, but I'm just going to put it out there, especially since I don't know Ralph personally and I don't have anything to lose from saying this. Michael worked harder.
Yeah.
You know, he just did.
I think that they both worked. I think they both worked hard. And I'll just.
I think they worked hard. I think they worked differently.
Yeah.
Like they had different strategies.
Yeah, they both worked hard because I have physically seen Ralph at local parties. But again, I'm Charles, and he's Berkeley, so you know it is.
Right.
But his speech, I will say, was very, it resonated. I'm not going to downplay it. As I was listening, I did tell you guys on the back end that Ralph has a very well put together speech. I can see why it was, you know, filling people's cup, and I see why he won. You know, they both have the experience. I can't say one has more than the other, but they do have the knowledge.
Different kinds of experience.
Exactly. Again, they both have the experience. They both have that knowledge that's needed for the party. And I do want to commend Ralph at the end of his speech. He did give a shout out to Michael, and he made sure to isolate time.
He did.
Pour back into him. You know, even though you didn't get those results, that doesn't mean that I still don't need you. You know, I still want us to collaborate. I still want us to work together. So I do want to pause and just make sure to acknowledge that he did acknowledge Michael, even though the results didn't go in his favor. So I do want to say that was very big of him. And again, Michael ain't going nowhere. I commend both of them. I can't wait for all of them to, you know, bring us to where we're trying to get. It takes a village. So I hope next year that more people run. It wasn't a lot of people this year, so I hope that changes next year. We need more people.
And one
thing
I want to bring up about Michael too, even though he lost, like I heard that he stayed and still greeted people after his loss, and the amount of strength that takes, because I'm gonna tell you, when I lost for state committee woman, I got the heck out of there. I was like, I cannot. Like, I gotta haul it out of here. Michael was there hugging people.
Yeah.
Like,
went to an after party. He went, the Young Dems like did a thing. Yeah.
My friend.
I would have gone home and gone to bed.
Mm-mm. One of my friends texted
me. That's exactly what I did. I was exhausted. Yeah. And Michael was in there tearing up and still like greeting people. And that's why I was like wanting to hug him. I was like, oh, I'm getting deja vu. I'm like, I'm going to tear up again.
Yeah. My friend said she went up and hugged him. And, she said something to him, and she's like, I could tell he was starting to tear up. So I kind of moved on, you know, because I didn't want him to.
It's an indescribable feeling.
That strength.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I
listened to Ralph, so I did watch Ralph's acceptance speech live, and I was I kept waiting to see if he would say anything about Michael. Just because I think that does show something about your character when you acknowledge the other person, and want to work together with them. So, you know, and I guess, you know, my feelings on the whole thing, I just don't know Ralph. So, you know, I can't,
you got time
I'm not
to get to
speaking
know him.
Ill of him in any way. And I definitely, you know, I'm sure he's a great person. I just don't know him. And so that's, and I'm a very fiercely loyal person. Like, when you're my friend, mm-hmm. and you're running for something and somebody mm-hmm. else wins, it takes me a minute. Like, mm-hmm. I had a hard time with Michelle for a long time after she beat Erica. And it had nothing to do with Michelle. Like, love Michelle. Great person.
Yeah.
But, like, for months after, I mean, it might have even been a year after. I don't even know. But I was, like, in my feelings big time, because that's just, like, the person I am. When we're friends, that's it.
No, me too. Because when Ralph said his thing about Michael, like, the whole room stopped and did like a standing ovation.
Yes.
And I was standing next to another delegate from another county. And she and I view the world very similarly. And we both like kind of turned our back and rolled our eyes, because we were just like, he's not going to do it. So like, we'll do it for him. Like, I was just like, not like annoyed, but I was just like, this feels like a participation trophy that you're all standing up and clapping for this man after what you just put him through, like literally, like in front of his own eyes. So it did take me I was definitely not my best self in that moment.
That's one of the reasons I'm kind of glad I wasn't there, because I definitely would not have been my best self. I'll be very real.
People were texting me. Like, I was getting texts from people in all sorts of different delegations. Same. Like,
yeah.
It was really rough.
I wasn't at the convention, but I almost was, because based on like all the texts I was getting, and I was, you know, just living it moment by moment.
Yeah. But to Erica's point, I do wish more people just like decided to run, because Democrats have a lot of opinions. Like, there are always people who don't like what so-and-so's doing, or, you know, like, and I'm like, okay, well, you had the opportunity. The only thing stopping you from running for a certain position was like, if you were the same race or the same gender or over 36, like, you could have fit into any category and you could have put your name out there, and you didn't. And I'm not saying it in like a it's easy to do kind of way, because as we clearly just went through, it's not. But you can't. It's like having an opinion and like not voting. Like, it's like if you have such strong opinions and you want to see things done differently, you can't expect somebody else to do it. Like, put your name in the ring. See if people are on board with your ideas. So I agree with you, Erica. Not that I'm sad that more people didn't throw their hat in the ring, because that would have also taken so much longer, and that voting process would have hurt. That voting process would have like hurt me each and every time, because it just does. I hate that we do it that way.
Me too.
But because I'm tired of seeing people complain and hearing people complain and then not do anything about it. So my hope is that if you're listening and you're frustrated with how things have been going, consider running. And I don't mean like school board, county council, state house, or your local party, your state party. Mm-hmm. It all matters. But one thing we didn't talk about was that Jamie Harrison wrote a check for $50,000 to the state party, and the whole room like flipped out. And I was like, that is like game changing money. That is huge.
Yes. Exactly. I'm glad you plugged that in. But we are actually coming to an end. We have reached our time.
There's still so much more we could have talked about.
I know, right? We
did not even talk about Tim Walz's speech at the convention.
Jermaine Johnson announcing.
Or Jermaine, or the fact that like people freaked out over Annie getting on stage. It was a big week.
And that lady that was doing the fundraising thing that was like calling people out in the audience and was like, I was like, this is really
interesting. Like, oh, that's Miss Bernice. Listen, Miss Bernice, I learned this in Chicago. You don't play with Miss Bernice now. There's a reason that she's the one that they put on that stage to ask people for money, because when Miss Bernice talks, people listen.
I mean, she was calling people out in the audience by name. Like, I know you're going on a trip, but you could put some money.
She was saying a government name. I was like, oh, where they at? Call them out. Where they at? And not me trying to search for something. I was like, Lord, I don't want her to call on me, and I'm empty-handed. Like, but yes, thank you guys for tuning in to yet another episode of Politically Speaking with your with the lovely co-hosts, myself, Erica Kirsten, and Emily. Stay tuned. We are getting up there, ladies. We are about to start having some special guests, and I am so excited for what's to come.
Exciting
update. We said that we wasn't going to say who the special guest was, so hopefully.
No.
That gets you guys to come back and figure out and just be so excited, just as we are about getting our special guest on this show. I also want to make sure, if you are into podcasts, make sure you check out and vote for on June 20th, I think was the
before June 20th. Through June 20th. Yeah.
Now through June 20th, you can go to the All About Nothing podcast, plug it in. They have been nominated. I feel like they've won twice already for best of the podcast in South Carolina. Don't quote me. I know they won one time, but I feel like they've already, they're doing the thing again. But anyways, I came up here to say, please make sure you go vote for them. You have up until June 20th to vote for them. And if you have never heard of them, again, check them out. Hilarious
show.
All About Nothing podcast. So I would be remiss if I did not plug that in. You know, I may not have a producer anymore after this. But anyways, I just want to make sure that I plugged them in. And thank you guys again for tuning in. Until next time. Thank you guys.
This is Kirsten Pruitt. Please subscribe to the show wherever you find podcasts and consider leaving us a rating. You can find links to our social media and YouTube page in the show notes. Thanks again for listening.
The preceding podcast is solely owned by its host or hosts and is distributed by Big Media LLC. Copyright 2025, all rights reserved.